The topic of the shiur today is triage as it relates to COVID-19. Let's say you have two patients, you only have one ventilator. Who do you treat first? Again, Baruch Hashem, at this stage, at least in the tri-state area, the situation has been drastically improved, but there are other situations where hospitals are being overwhelmed in other parts of the country. And this is the general question, that how does halacha deal with a situation where you have to decide who do you treat? Do you treat when you're treating between two different patients? Who gets the treatment first? So I'm going to discuss this issue in four different subtopics. First, going to discuss primary sources about triage. Secondly, what is the primary principle determining whom to treat first? Third, what if the patients do not come at the same time? Do we say first come, first served? And number four, can you ever remove a patient from a ventilator to use for another patient? Regarding the first issue about primary sources about triage, so many of us are familiar with the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Samach Beis, Amud Aleph, which quotes a braisa about two people who are walking on the road and one of them has a flask of water. And if both of them drink from the water, they're both going to die. And if one drinks, then he's going to survive and the other one's going to die. Ben Petura said, better that they both drink and both die, but I should not drink if it means that my friend's going to die. And Rabbi Akiva disagreed based on the pasuk v'chei achicha imach, that your brother should live with you. Chayecha kodim l'chayecha v'ercha, that your life comes first. If you have the flask of water and there's only enough water for one person to survive, so you are allowed to drink the water. And this is a very important halacha when it comes to priorities and life-saving issues, that you can treat yourself before you treat someone else. That is not so relevant in our particular situation, because here we're not talking about a situation where a patient, let's say, owns a ventilator. We're talking about a situation where two patients come to the hospital, and who are you going to treat first? So yeah, this is an important source dealing with triage, but it's not so relevant to our particular case. There's also a Mishnah in Hor Yosef, Yud Gimel Aleph, which tells us that a Kohen precedes a Levi precedes a Yisrael, Yisrael precedes a Mamzer precedes a Nassin precedes a Ger precedes an Eved, a slave, in terms of a freed slave, in terms of who do you treat first. And then the Mishnah says, a Masai, when does a Kohen precede a Levi? When do you have to treat a Kohen before a Levi? Bizman Shekulam Shavim. That's when they're both equal. Aval Im Hoya Mamzer Tamun Chacham V'Kohen Am Aretz. If the Mamzer was a Tamun Chacham and the Kohen Gadol was an Am Aretz, so the Mamzer Tamun Chacham is Kodem L'Kohen Gadol Am Aretz. The Mamzer Tamun Chacham precedes, gets treated before the Kohen Gadol who's an Am Aretz. Now, this rule of precedence is not so relevant halacha lamaisa. Rav Moshe Feinstein in the Tshuva Igros Moshe Choshe Mishpat Chelek Beis Simon Ayin Daled writes that he cites that even though we have a list of priorities of who comes first from this Mishnah and Horios, he writes, he said it's difficult to actually articulate who comes before whom. Because right, if everyone's equal, okay, then the Kohen precedes the Levi, Levi precedes Yisrael. But we don't know who's equal. We don't know that maybe we don't know how to evaluate who is more worthy than someone else. How do you determine if someone's equal? And Rav Schechter, in one of his responsa dealing with coronavirus, entitled Kedima B'Hatzolos Nefashos, priority when it comes to saving lives. So he cites this Mishnah in Horios, and he cites the Tshuva by Rav Moshe Feinstein, and he explains, Umistama Haytaima, what's the reason for the order of priorities? Tachi Isa Shema B'Mishnah She'ish Kodem Le'isha La'achios. It also is a Mishnah which is that you treat a man before a woman. in terms of saving a man's life before saving a woman's life, he said the mistama high time shigvar makaimim yoser mitzvos measher nashim. Maybe because men observe fulfill more mitzvos than women. Shepturos and mitzvos ishman grama, because women are exempt from positive time bound commandments. But then he writes uvizmanenu yeshar be nashim sheoskos batov mitzvos yosher measher gvar mechule. He says, but nowadays maybe things were different in the days of the Mishnah. But nowadays the. We have many women who observe more mitzvos than men do. And he, Rav Shachter believes that the order of priorities that's listed in Horios is basically, who do you say first? Who is more beneficial for the kehila, for the tzibur? The individuals who perhaps perform more mitzvos are better for the kehila. And he writes, "V'deruz akashim olikba min nitzrach lekehila yosir mi." It's hard to know that who is more necessary for the kehila more than someone else. And therefore, he writes, "Bitamzam akubal etzal poskim shel linhog al pi hamishna." He says, "Therefore, it's accepted amongst the poskim, amongst the halakhic authorities, not to follow this Mishnah practice." In theory, the Mishnah probably is telling us the importance of observance of mitzvot, that our lives are valuable. And we are helpful to our communities through, because of our mitzvah observance. That's going to be our primary role in this world. But in terms of actually saying, I'm going to treat you before you, I'm going to treat this person before that person, it's very hard it's impossible to ascertain that who is more worthy to be saved than someone, who is more worthy between two different people. And therefore, we don't take this into consideration. There is one factor, I think, that we do take into consideration about triage, and that is the principle of ein dochi nefesh bipnei nefesh. We don't kill one person in order to save someone else. So, for example, the Mishnah in Olos, Perek Zayin, Mishnah Vav, tells us that a woman, she's having difficulty in childbirth. So everyone agrees that you're allowed to perform an abortion if it's to save the mother's life. There's a dispute if it's not to save the mother's life. So then there's a question, under what circumstances, or are you allowed to have an abortion or not? But everyone agrees. The Mishnah says very clearly that if a woman is in a state where she could lose her life, And then she would be allowed to perform an abortion to save her life, based on mibnei shechayehal kodim lechayav, because her life takes priority over the fetus inside of her. However, the Mishnah in Olos says yatzaruba ein nogim bo shein dochi nefesh mibnei nefesh. But once the majority of the baby comes out, so then you can't kill him in order to save her. You can't kill one person in order to save someone else. There's also a Tosefta, Meseches Trumos, Perek Zayin Halacha Beis, that's quoted in the Rambam, Hilchos Yesod HaTorah, Perek Hei Halacha Hei, that says that, let's say, there's a group of bandits that surround a group of Jews and say, give us one of you, and we will kill him, and if not, we're going to kill all of you. So the Tosefta writes, and the Rambam cites his Halacha, that what? That Yehargu Kulan, Vayimasun, Lohem Nevesh Achas Yisrael, that all the Jews are willing to die, they shouldn't give up anyone. Ein dochi nefesh b'bnei nefesh. So that is a principle that we hold dear, that we don't kill someone in order to save someone else's life. What, though, is the primary principle in determining who to treat first? So there's a pre-megadim in Or Chaim, Simon Shin Chav Chesif Katan Aleph, that writes that a vadai wins out over a safek. That if someone is vaday misukan, if someone is definitely in a life-threatening situation, you should treat him before you treat someone who is in a suffix, a doubtful situation. And similarly, and perhaps another way of looking at this is that there's a Tzitz Eliezer in Chelek Tes, Simon Yud Zayin, in his Kuntras on Refuah on Shabbos, the 10th parak, the Tzitz Eliezer writes that, or he cites the Baal Mirkeves HaMishnah, who says that if there's a Bari and a Mesukan, you treat the bari first. What does that mean? A bari is a healthy person, a sukkah, and someone's in a dangerous situation. And what this means is that if someone is a masukan, he's in a dangerous situation, and even if you treat him, he will only live chayisha, only temporarily. He's not going to live a long time. Versus someone, if you treat him and you heal him, he's going to live for a very long time. So you treat the bari, the one who's going to live a long time, what's called chaye olam, as opposed to someone who's only going to live chaye shah, or shachter. First of shachter understands that chaye shah is someone who will likely live less than 12 months, and chaye olam is someone who's going to live more than 12 months. Rav Asher Weiss, also in a tshuva dealing with Corona, entitled Kedima Batzalos Nefashos, who do you treat first when it comes to saving life? He says there are two factors that we need to consider in determining whom to treat first. Godol HaSakana, V'Godol HaSikui. So that you should first treat someone who is in a more dangerous state. Let's say you have two patients, and one of them, if you don't treat him now, then it's going to be the end of him, and someone else, you can wait a bit. So you treat the person who is in a dangerous state, who needs the treatment right now. And there's a second factor, which is the sikui, the chances of him being able to be saved. So if someone is, the treatment will more likely work for one person as opposed to someone else, so then you should treat the person who will, there's a greater likelihood that the treatment will work for him. So these are the two factors, and sometimes, you know, there could be one factor in one direction and one factor in a different direction. But these are two factors. If you have two different patients and one of them is in an urgent need right away, and the likelihood of success is strong, versus someone who's not in an emergency state right away, no difference if you treat him today or 2 or 3 days from now, and also the chances of him being healed are not so likely. So then the one who is in a dangerous state now, the sakana, and also the sikui, has a greater likelihood of success, so he wins out. And what's interesting is Rav Asher Weiss writes, the age of the person has no meaning, no halachic meaning. The only factor is that if someone is very elderly, and therefore, even if they're treated, they're not going to live more than a chayisha, let's say 12 months, as the Rav Shachter says in his response regarding Kedima Batzalos Nefashos, regarding order of priorities when it comes to saving lives. So if you have someone who's older who will likely not live more than 12 months, so he will not take priority over a patient who will likely live chaye olam, a longer period of time. So these are the two. And Moshe Feinstein also has a tshuva, and he goes, Moshe, Choshe Mishpat, Chelek Beis, Simon Ayin Gimel, who says something similar as well, that he says that Vadai Chai Haror Lizrape V'lichios Kol Yomav Haro'uyin Sheyichye Kederach Stam Enshe, that someone who has a chance to be healed and to live a normal, regular life for most people, Adifa Me'elo Shomdim Lamus Mitzad Choli Shelahem Shelo Yodu La'rofim Rufu L'machlasam, that he wins out over someone who will likely die because of the sickness, that it's not known to the doctors a medicine to their sickness. So if someone has a greater likelihood of success, so then he would be treated first. Also, Professor Avram Steinberg wrote a lengthy kuntras, booklet on Magefas HaKorona, also on the coronavirus, and on pages 27 and 28, he discusses these issues, and he also says that number one, the sikuyim, the likelihood of the success, will determine who you treat first, and then he says that the likelihood that also wins out. And then in another paragraph, he mentions also the difference between chaye olam and chaye shah. Okay, so again, we have these two factors. Even though we mentioned that we have Cohen before Levi before Yisrael, at the end of the day, we don't follow that principle. It's hard to know who is intrinsically more valuable than someone else. And therefore, we have these two factors. The likelihood of your treatment, you have two patients who come to the hospital together. So you have the one that's more likely to be, for his treatment to be successful. And number two is who is in a greater state of sakana, a greater state of danger. Now, this is true if both patients come at the same time. What if the patients do not come at the same time? What if one patient comes earlier? So this is it first come, first serve? So what's fascinating is that at some point, people were coming with such regularity to the hospital that you could almost predict that if someone's not coming now, but someone probably will come soon. So let's say, for example, you have someone who comes to the hospital first. And you know that person, even if you put him, you give him some treatment, you have one ventilator. And let's say whatever the case is, there's a certain treatment for that person. And you know that this person has a very small likelihood of the treatment working. But he's the only one who's come to the hospital now. But you know, based on what's been going on, that probably within a few hours, someone else is going to come to the hospital, and this medication will have a very high likelihood of being able to cure person number two. So do you treat person number one? He's the only one who's right here in front of us right now. Or do you say, well, I believe that someone's going to come 5-6 hours from now, who, if they both came together, you would treat the second guy first. So the Rav Asher Weiss brings the opinion of the Chazon Ish. And he writes that the Chazon Ish in Yoredei Siman Reish Ches, he says the following. He says, Ein nafka mina im chole befoneinu mamish, ela im matzui hadavor, da'av ze mugdar kechole befoneinu. He said, there's no difference if the sick person is in mamish in front of us, is really in front of us. But if it's a common matter, if it's likely, if it's reasonable, that within a few hours, another patient's going to come who's going to be in a more dire situation, and or the treatment will likely work for him as opposed to the person who come to the hospital right now, you give it to the second person because that second person is considered as if he's in front of us. So it's not first come, first served in a situation where there are so many patients coming that you almost know that a second one's going to be coming in a few hours. Again, there are a lot of details in terms of how long you have to wait, but that's the broad principle. When you know that there are a whole bunch of patients that are coming with regularity, and you know there's a group of patients that will... a group of patients that they're going to be in a very serious state of danger, and then the likelihood of success of the treatment is very great for them. You wait for those patients if you believe that they're going to come soon. So it's not first come, first serve. It's still called bifaneinu, in front of us, as long as it's matzu, as long as it's likely to happen. And Rav Schachter makes the same point in his article as well. Right, and also Professor Steinberg does as well in his article. So that seems to be let's say he writes, he says that if you know for certain, Professor Steinberg writes, if it's yodua b'vados, if it's known for certain that sick people will come who need the ventilator and they have greater hopes to be healed, so you treat as if they're coming at the same time. The final issue deals with removing the patient from a ventilator to use for another patient. So on the surface, that would seem to be Ritzicha. Menachas Asher, Rav Asher Weitz writes, Aval ein lenatek adam imachshir hadeshama, af im ketanim sikuyav lichyos, kedi lahatzalam sikuyav tovim yoseh. You don't remove one person from a ventilator, even if the chances of him living are very minute, to save someone else who has greater chances. That's based on the principle that we mentioned, Ein dochi nefesh mipnei nefesh. We don't kill one person in order to save someone else. Is there anything that you can do short of extubating one patient, removing one patient from the ventilator, if you believe the first patient is probably not going to survive and you have another patient who you probably can save his life? Is there anything you can do? So Schachter writes that v'chein nira, it seems to me, shim kvar chibus hazaken amuflag leventilator, that if they already attached an elderly sick person to a ventilator, v'achach yavidu shelo yakadai, and they realize it doesn't make sense, ki harbeit siyam yivo'ok, there are younger people, healthier people will come and they can be saved more, and they can live a chayi olam, a longer time, more than 12 months. Shemina nachal l'rofin l'kvol hazaken hazeh achlota shel DNR, they should decide that the elderly person, they should make a DNR for him, a do not resuscitate. Ki lagave ascholos hatipol achodesh avor achol hazaken benigud letipol bitzirim zekvar nefshet kubo v'bas achas. It says, regarding any new medicines, any new treatments, so then we treat as if they're coming the same time. V'aleinu lahakdim hatipol bitzirim habriyim, and you should treat the younger, healthier ones first. And this would not be an ein dochi nefesh b'pnei nefesh violation, ke'ein kan ritzicha b'kum v'aseh, because you're not killing the elderly person on the ventilator. But what? Elarach ikium hadin shelo tamal adam reyecha. That there are two different issues here, two different halachic issues here. There's one is ritzicha, you're not allowed to murder someone. And the second issue is lo samlo dam reyecha. You shouldn't stand idly by the blood of your friend. You are supposed to save your friend. So you can't do ritzicha. You can't remove someone from the ventilator to save someone else. However, you could refuse treatment for the person on the ventilator so that they would die quicker, if that would mean that the second person could get the ventilator. That's a passive act. You're just not giving the person additional medicinal treatments. So that would only be a violation of lo samal adam reyecha. And when it comes to that, lo samal adam reyecha, so then you could weigh both patients, the one who's coming now and the one who's currently on the ventilator. So you're saying to yourself, one's on a ventilator, one is just come now, the second one has a greater likelihood of success, a greater likelihood of living chayonim for a longer time. So you have to pick in terms of lo samal adam reyecha. So the second one wins over the first one. You're not killing the first one, but you are simply not providing additional medication so that to speed up the demise, and obviously it's a difficult situation, but you're speeding up the demise of the first one in order for that the second one, so that the second one should live. Professor Steinberg points out also, similarly, that you don't have to give new treatments. And he says even more than that. Not only do you not have to give new treatments to the sick person who's on the ventilator, but you can also potentially lower the oxygen, the amount of oxygen that the person on the ventilator is receiving. So if you can continue lowering it, this is, he writes again in this Kuntras, in this booklet on Magevus HaKorona, pages 28-29, in paragraph 13, he writes, Mutter gam lahorid vadrega vadarga et ketzav ha hanshama ves rikut ha chamtzan shamachonet hanshama ad lemida shloni keres hara miyadit b'matzavo hanishimati. So you can lower the amount of oxygen that the patient is receiving so that he doesn't die right away, doesn't affect his breathing right away. And then, if his situation worsens, you don't have to give him additional oxygen. Again, you only violate ritzicha if you do something that would result in him dying right away. But if you lower the amount of oxygen that he receives, so that he can still breathe and he can still live on his own for a certain period of time, and then when he needs more oxygen, you don't give it to him. So that is passive, and therefore that would be allowed to enable you to give the ventilator to a second person when the first person passes away. Or similarly, let's say the ventilator is hooked up to an oxygen tank. So you are not required to refill the oxygen tank necessarily. Again, you can't remove the person from the ventilator, but if it's connected to an oxygen tank, when the oxygen supply is done, and the question is, do I put another oxygen tank there? So then, at that point, you are deciding, who am I going to treat first? Patient A on the ventilator or patient B? And you may decide that patient B wins out because he can live chayi olam, and there's a greater likelihood that it will be successful. So at that point, you would be allowed to say, I'm not going to give any more oxygen, I'm not going to add an oxygen tank to the first person who's on the ventilator, and wait for him to pass away, and then give the ventilator to the second person. These are obviously very difficult situations, but that is some leeway. Again, you're not extubating the person, but, and this is a passive way of allowing the first person to pass away so that you can save the life of a second person. There is a more controversial position, it's not accepted by all poskim, but this is something Rav Zalman Nechemya Goldberg writes in one of his articles on the topic. And he writes the following, and it's based on a Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Ches. And there the Gemara says that if you kill a trefa, now what's a trefa? Presumably, a trefa is someone who is, let's say, is not supposed to live for 12 months. Because of a certain sickness, he's not going to live for more than 12 months. And the Gemara says that you are pater, that you're exempt. So Rav Zalman Nechemya Goldberg wants to argue that if someone is in a state where, again, I'm not talking about a situation. Everyone agrees, not everyone, but many poskim agree that if you lower someone's oxygen level or you remove someone from the ventilator and they can still live for a few hours, so then that's not an act of ritzicha. And then when you're deciding whether to hook the person up again or to add oxygen, then you're weighing the two different people and you decide, you know, who deserves to get the oxygen more. So that many poskim say there's ways to sort of, you know, pick a second person over a first person who's already on the ventilator. But according to most poskim, you have to wait. You can't simply, if you remove the ventilator and the person dies, that seems to be ritzicha. But says the Rav Zalman Nechemya Goldberg, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that if you kill a trefa, someone who's not supposed to live more than 12 months, you're pater. You're not liable for the death penalty. That's on the surface, he says, therefore, it's not ritzicha anymore. So what he argues is that in a situation where basically you know that a person's hooked up to a ventilator and the doctors assume, and he writes here, Al-Pirov Hemshech Atipo B'chol Amunsham Hu Kvar L'loto Elas Al-Pishikul Hadato Shel Arofe. The doctor basically believes that there's no purpose in keeping him alive on the ventilator. V'chol Hapulos Hamuturos La'il Nenotku V'dayan Yesh Machsor B'machshirei HaNeshama. And, you know, there's no, you're missing ventilators. V'yesh Cholim Im Sikuyim Svirim. There are other patients that they could be helped with the ventilator. This person, basically, he's not going to be helped. There's no way he can survive. He's beyond hope. He's in an irreversible situation. He's not going to live more than 12 months. So he writes, Yesha kasu shemutav lahavir samachshir hanshama lami shesikuyiv lichyos gadol miyoser. You can remove the ventilator from the person who's on it, who it's definitely not going to help. The doctor said it's just a waiting game, to someone whom it can help. Why? Because the first person is a trefa, then you're pater. You're pater from, it's not considered ritzicha, it's not considered murder. And then all you're really dealing with is a question of lo samal adam reyacha. That by removing this, because maybe you're obligated just to keep him alive longer, even though he's going to die within 12 months. But then it's you're weighing this person's lo samal adam reyacha to the other person's lo samal adam reyacha, And the second person, because he has a greater likelihood of surviving, he will win out over the first person. So there are some opinions that say, and Rav Zalman Chaim Goldberg is one of them, who would say that you could remove someone from the ventilator if someone is called the trefa. Rav Asher Weiss cites this position as well, when there's no hope for the person who's being attached to the ventilator, to use it for someone else. And I was told orally that he has sometimes ruled this way in practice. But there are other poskim who disagree. I believe Rav Schachter disagrees. And there are other poskim who disagree. Why do they disagree? So, for example, we're working with the assumption that if you kill a trefa, then you're putter. Then you're not considered a rotzeach. You're not considered a murderer. That's what Rav Zalman Chaim Goldberg held. However, it's not so simple. Maybe when the Gemara says that if you kill a trefa, you're putter, maybe it simply means you are a murderer, but the court can't kill you. The court can't put you to death. It's not a capital crime, but it still is murder. That's what the the Tzitz Eliezer understands this. So if you hold that it still is ritzicha when you kill someone who's a trefa, right? Just that it's not a capital crime if there were witnesses and there was a warning. So what that would mean is that you would not be allowed to pull the plug on someone, because then we'd say ein dochin nefesh mipnei nefesh. So how you understand the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Ches? And when you say a trefa is potter, do you mean it's not ritzicha at all? It's not murder at all? And then maybe there's some grounds to remove the ventilator? Or do you say that no, you're just potter from capital punishment, but it's still considered ritzicha? And then we would say, ein dochin nefesh min nefesh, you would not be allowed to remove the ventilator. So just to summarize what we said today, we began with a discussion about primary sources of triage. The debate between Rabbi Akiva and Ben Petura, if you only have a flask of water and you have it, you split it with someone. If you're both Gandharis, you drink it yourself. Akiva says you drink it yourself. That's not really relevant to our topic. We saw the Mishnah in Horios, which says certain categories of people precede other categories of people in terms of saving them. Rav Schachter understands that this is based on the fact that someone who does more mitzvot is more valuable to be saved, but it's impossible to evaluate who's greater than whom, and therefore we don't follow that standard. And really what the poskim understand that there are two factors in determining who to treat first, who will likely live, the chances of the treatment being successful so they can live chaye olam, they can live more than 12 months, versus someone who is not so likely that the treatment will be successful. And number two is one person in a state of sakana vada, in a definite state of sakana, versus only a doubtful case of sakana, or you can wait a little bit. Those are the two major factors in determining whom to treat first. If you have two patients, so you give the one who has greater likelihood of success and is more immediate danger. If the patients do not come at the same time, but you believe, like was the case in the tri-state area a few months ago regarding COVID, that there will be patients coming, many patients who are coming, and even if right now there's a patient who comes in now who you believe that a ventilator is not going to help, right? And but he's the only one who's here right now, but you believe based on the number of patients who are constantly coming in, there will be another patient who will come in a few hours, and there the ventilator will help. So we said, it's as if they came at the same time and you wait for the second patient to treat him. And then finally, we mentioned that about the issue of, and that was based on the Chazon Ish, who said that it's not, that both cholim are considered befaneinu, in front of us, if it's matzoi, if it's likely that the second one will come, even if he's not in front of us right now. And then we mentioned that even though, generally speaking, you don't remove a patient from a ventilator to use for another patient, because ein dochin nefesh b'bnei nefesh, that's an issue of ritzicha, you can't murder one person in order to save someone else's life. However, you're not required to necessarily treat someone because that's based on Lo Sam Lo Dam Riecha. That's basically about actively trying to save someone, giving someone medication. If you have to decide between two people, and someone else is higher up on the list of trying to save him, so then you could not provide medication for the person on the ventilator, and you would provide it for the person who just came in, so that the first person will pass away and the second person could use the ventilator. But you can't actively remove the ventilator. You can't actively extubate, because that would be Ritzicha. You would also potentially be allowed to lower the oxygen level so that the first patient doesn't die right away, because that also is not Ritzicha, murder, because he's living still for a few hours. And you would also, let's say the ventilator is hooked up to an oxygen tank, you wouldn't have to replenish the oxygen tank, because again, that would not be an issue of Ritzicha. That's just about positively saving lives. And there, at that point, you would assume that these two patients are coming at the same time, and you could decide who you want to save between the two individuals. And then we saw the position of Zalman Nechemiah Goldberg, who says there might be some circumstances if someone's about to die and he's not going to live, the ventilator is not helping, and the person's not going to live more than 12 months definitely. In fact, he's going to die very soon, but there's someone else who can use the ventilator, use some other treatment, then you would be allowed to remove the person from the ventilator. But this is not a unanimous position. There are other poskim who disagree and hold that you would not be allowed to do that, because the Gemara in Sanhedrin, which says that you're putter if you kill a treifa, that simply means that you're putter from capital punishment, but it is still forbidden. In the schus of the learning today, in the schus of this year, we should only all have a refuah shalema.